Well, today we're going to be talking about breathing room again. And before we do, though, I want to take just a couple minutes to talk about St. Patrick. St. Patrick's Day is coming just a couple of days from now, and I've never really been a St. Patrick's Day guy. Like, I've never been, you have to wear green and get a shamrock shake from McDonald's. Oh, those are pretty good. Just don't kiss me, I'm not Irish. Like, I've just never really been into it. Over the last few weeks, though, I've decided to learn a little bit more about this man and his life. And so I wanted to share with you a little bit of what I've learned about his life. And just to start by saying that his legacy is not at all what St. Patrick's Day has become. Most of what happens on St. Patrick's Day has nothing to do with, and in fact is completely opposite of, everything that he lived his life to accomplish. So he opens his autobiography with these simple words: "My name is Patrick. I am a sinner, a simple country person, and the least of all believers." Patrick was born in Scotland in the year 385. The early part of his life was pretty uneventful, not much happening, but when he turned 16, everything changed in a dramatic way. When he was 16 years old, a mob of pirates, yes, pirates, everything you picture when you hear that word, pirates, invaded his village, destroyed the village, kidnapped him, and they took him to Ireland. And when they got to Ireland, they sold him as a slave. He was taken 200 miles inland and forced to work on a pig farm in some really harsh conditions. Freezing cold temperatures, ice, snow, rain. Day after day, it was a struggle just to survive and not starve to death. Before all this happened, he became a believer, but his relationship with Christ was kind of distant. It wasn't really a big part of his life until he was sold into slavery. And during his time in slavery, he pressed in, and he began to pursue a more meaningful, life-changing relationship with God, and it transformed his life. After he had been a slave for about 6 years, one day God gave him a vision. And in the vision, God told him to return to his homeland of Scotland and prepare for the ministry. And also in that vision, God actually gave him an escape route, showed him how to escape slavery, and told him, when you get to the coast, there will be a ship waiting there to take you back home. So he followed the plan God laid out for him, traveled 200 miles on foot to the coast, and when he got there, there was a ship waiting to take him back home to Scotland. So he began to study and prepare for the ministry, and he eventually became a priest. After some time had passed, God gave him another vision. And in this vision, he heard the voices of Irish people pleading with him to return to Ireland. And so he did. He went back to Ireland with this single mission: to win a pagan nation to Christ. That was his calling, and that's what he did. So he traveled back to Ireland, and this was not an easy calling because he was relentlessly opposed. His life was constantly threatened, constantly in danger. The king of Ireland at that time was a pagan king who despised Christianity, despised Patrick, and tried several times to have him captured and executed. What Patrick did instead of giving up is he armed himself with a dagger, and he kept doing what he was doing. And so for the next 30 years, he traveled around the country, planting churches, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and baptizing new believers. And one day, to everybody's shock, the king who had opposed him and the king who wanted him executed gave his life to Christ. And Patrick was the man who got to baptize him as a brand new believer. Amazing what God did through this man's life. Patrick died on March 17th in the year 461. And he died in the same town where he started his first church. There's a monument that stands there to this day, honoring him and the accomplishments that he made for the kingdom of God. And speaking of the churches he started, those churches and the thousands of believers that came to Christ through his ministry and those that followed, they became missionary outposts and the launching pad to reaching into the continent of Europe and sharing Christ with as many people as possible because of Patrick's influence. So that's the story of St. Patrick. And I believe that the best way to honor his legacy is not by all the stuff that usually happens on St. Patrick's Day. I think the best way to honor his legacy is to follow the example he set. And part of what that means is that we live out our calling just as he did. That we spend time seeking God and asking God, God, what are you calling me to do? What to do? What is the ministry, the mission you have called me to? And then no matter what the cost is, no matter what that looks like, no matter what the opposition is, we push through and we live out that calling. That is one way to honor the example this man set. And another way to live out his legacy is to place Christ at the center of our lives, just as he did. I want to share with you something that is known as St. Patrick's Breastplate, which is actually a prayer. It's called that. It's called St. Patrick's Breastplate because in those days, prayers would be written out and placed on the armor or the shield of soldiers and knights as they went out to battle. And this is one of Patrick's prayers that was included in that process. Here's how it goes, and this is why I wore the shirt that I'm wearing today. Here's part of that prayer. Christ be with me. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beside me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me and Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left, Christ to win me, to comfort me, to restore me, to guide me, Christ in quiet and Christ in danger, Christ when I lie down and Christ when I arise. See, for Patrick, it was all about Jesus. And for us, it needs to be all about Jesus. Now, the reason I share the story of St. Patrick is not just because St. Patrick's Day is a couple days away, but because his story is a reminder of something I think all of us need to be aware of, and it's this. God has a calling for you. God has a calling on your life. Just as God called Patrick to the people of Ireland, and just as God has called Jen to the people of Burkina Faso, and just as God called Sheila and I to start this church, no matter who you are, God has a calling for you, a ministry, a mission that he created you and has equipped you to fulfill and to live out with your life. Every single one of us, God has a calling for you. Now, you might be wondering, okay, I thought we were talking about breathing room. What's that have to do with breathing room? We've been talking about this whole pace of life that we're immersed in, right? This frantic pace of life that is way too busy, where we get overwhelmed and we just want it to slow down because we have this thing where we rush from one thing to the next with no break in between, with no downtime to just slow down and take a breath and prepare for what's next. And so we've talked about how toxic that is, how unhealthy that is. And in the middle of that, we've been talking about these amazing invitations that God gives us. The fact that Jesus himself is the answer to all of that that we struggle with. And so we've looked at some of the invitations he gives, like this one in John 7, where Jesus says this, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Jesus' invitation to us is come to me and I will give you what you desperately need. Come to me and I will restore your soul. I will renew you because you desperately need that. And that invitation is repeated in Matthew 11 when he says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." We need that, right? He says, "I will give you rest." If you're weary and carrying heavy burdens, if you're tired out, exhausted, overwhelmed, carrying way too much, Jesus' invitation is come to me and I will give you rest. And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart and you will find rest for your souls." That's God's invitation to us. He says, "I will give you rest. I will restore you. I will renew you." God wants to strengthen you and he wants to free you from the slavery to the urgent that we have embraced. So again, you might be asking, okay, what does that have to do with St. Patrick and living on mission? How do we connect these two dots? Finding rest in Christ, come to me and I'll give you rest. How do we connect that with living life on purpose, living out a mission that God has given us? Here's the connection. I think for most of us, anytime we hear stories of people who have made a great impact, there's something inside of us that resonates with that, isn't there? Like when we hear stories of somebody like St. Patrick, for me, when I hear his story of how God used him and the lives that were changed because of his ministry and his sacrifice, there's something in me that says, I want to live a life of significance like that. I want to see lives changed. I want to see God work and I want to see God move. I want to see powerful things like that happen through my ministry as well. Or maybe it's a story of, especially for us men, we hear stories like William Wallace, right? Braveheart. And here's a guy who sacrificed so much, who put his life in constant danger and ultimately gave his life for the cause of freedom, to overcome tyranny. And when we hear stories like that, there's something inside of us that says, yes, I want to live a life of significance. I want my life to matter. I want it to count for something and for other people's lives to be changed because of my life. All of us, there's something inside of us that wants that. And that's important. But it's also important for us to understand that in order for us to do that, in order for us to live that kind of life, we first have to be spiritually healthy. See, you and I live in a culture that is increasingly godless. We live in a culture that is increasingly evil and corrupt, and it doesn't try to hide it anymore. It's out there, it's open, and it's blatant. And God has called you, and God has called me to be countercultural presence. But in order for us to do that and to do it well, we have to care for the health of our souls. And so Jesus shows us this example, this pattern, over and over again in the Gospels. Let's take a look at a few examples of this. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus is sending out his disciples on a mission trip. And he spells out for them what they're going to do. And he says this: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. He's sending them out to do the miraculous. He says, you're going to go and you're going to do the exact same things you have watched me do. I'm sending you out to do those same things. But then notice what he says next. He says, freely you have received, freely give. The order is really important. Freely you have received. And now that you've received, now go and give. See, we have to receive from him if we're going to have anything to give. This world around us, what I can provide for other people is not enough. What I have to offer the needs of other people around me is not enough. I am not enough. But you know who is? Christ in me. He's enough. And the people you and I come across every day desperately need an encounter with God. They desperately need a touch from God. We can't provide that in and of ourselves, but what we can do is we can make the choice to spend time in the presence of God. We can make the choice to be saturated with the presence of the living God, to receive from him, to be renewed by him, to be transformed by him. All the stuff we've been talking about for the last several weeks, to receive his grace and his wisdom and his strength and his guidance, to allow him to change us. And then we have something worth giving to those around us who are hurting and struggling. But we have to receive first before we will have anything that we can give. I hear pastors all the time talk about the struggle to come up with what to preach on. I don't know what I'm going to preach on next week, or I don't know what I'm going to preach on next month. And I hear pastors talk about that all the time, but I have to say that's not what being a pastor is all about. God's calling for me is not to come up with a message to share with you each week. It's not. God's calling for me is to spend time in his presence, to listen for his voice, to allow him to change me and transform me, to receive from him, to invite him to speak to me and let that word do a work in me. And then the overflow of that becomes my ministry. Does that make sense? In other words, I have to receive first before I give. I have to receive from him, allow him to change me, and then share with you what he has taught me and what he has done in me. Receiving first and then giving. And so this whole series, Breathing Room, this is all about creating space in our lives to receive from God, inviting God to breathe life into us for two reasons. First of all, because we need that. We desperately need that. But also because those around us need us to be those people who have been transformed by living in the presence of the living God. And so God has called us to be his conduits. To be conduits of his love and his grace and his presence and his truth and his power into the lives of others. We receive from him and then we give to those around us. We see this in the very beginning of Jesus calling the disciples to follow him. Take a look at Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 14. It says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. What were they called to do, these 12?
Be with
him. To be with him, exactly. Now, in the first service, they guessed the second part first, so you did a good job. Their calling primarily was to be with him, right? To be with him, and then he would send them out to teach and to preach and to heal the sick and cast out demons, all the things that they did later on. But first and foremost, they had to be with him. This is absolutely essential. We are called to be with him first, because you can't give what you don't have. And so our primary calling is to spend time in God's presence, to be transformed by him. But then that needs to be followed up by going out and sharing with others the work that God has done in our lives. So this series is not just about finding relief from the frantic pace of life, from the overwhelming busyness that drags us down. That matters, yes. And there are times in each of our lives when that needs to be the priority, aren't there? Aren't there seasons in our lives where life is just so overwhelming and there's just way too much stuff going on, and the priority needs to be just taking a step back and just spending time in God's presence and doing nothing else? There's a season for that, but understand that's a season. It's not our whole life. Because remember, Jesus called his disciples to be with him, but he also sent them out and said, go and tell them. And in Jesus' life, Jesus not only got away from the crowds to spend time alone with the Father, he went back to the crowds to heal the sick and to teach the gospel. And Jesus invites us. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. But he also says, I have something for you to carry. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. But there's a calling that I have on your life. There's something that I'm equipping you during that time of rest. I'm equipping you to accomplish something significant for my kingdom. And so that whole pattern, he's called us to do and to be the same. And we need both time alone with God, breathing room, receiving from him, growing in him, going deeper in him, being renewed and restored in him. We need that. But the second part then is he has also called us to be people of impact, to reach out and to be a godly influence, to be salt and to be light, and to touch the lives of those around us. Is this making sense? So breathing room is not about escapism. It's about preparation. It's not just about me receiving from God what I need for me. It is that, yes, but it's also about me reconnecting with the God who those around me desperately need. And it's about realizing that while we all want to have an impact, none of us can do that if we don't have a meaningful, significant, life-changing relationship with the living God. Jesus talked about streams of living water. Look again at this passage here. In John 7:37, he says, anyone who is thirsty may come to me, and anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Now, that's for me, right? Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Receive life from me. Receive renewal from me. That is for me. But the next part is not. He says, the scriptures declare streams of living water will flow from that person. That's not for me. That goes beyond me. See, if it was just for me, Jesus would talk about ponds or reservoirs, right? But the fact that it's a stream, streams travel from one place to another. So his invitation isn't just come to me and I will renew you and give you life and give you restoration. That's part of it, yes, but then streams of living water, that means his life comes to me, transforms me, renews me, changes me, but then it flows from me to touch the lives of those around me. Streams of living water. And in the same way, Jesus talked in John 15 about the vine and the branches. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And just as a branch is connected to that vine, it's fastened to that vine. It needs the vine, right? It draws life from it. It draws renewal from it every single day. It has to stay connected. And in the same way, you and I desperately need to be connected to the living God, drawing life from him. But Jesus also talks about those branches then bearing fruit. And so he said the vine is connected to the branch. The branch is connected to the vine. It draws life from the vine, but then it offers the outcome of that life to those passing by. And in the same way, that is exactly what God has called us to do, to be fastened to him, to be connected to him, drawing life from him, but then we have something life-giving to offer those around us. That is God's calling for every single one of us. Breathing room and then impact. breathing room, time in his presence, being renewed by him, being restored in him, receiving from him, coming to him and receiving everything we need, but then impact, streams of living water flowing through us. Just as a branch reaches out and offers that fruit to someone passing by, in the same way we reach out and offer the transformation God has brought into our lives, we offer that same transformation to those around us. That is God's calling for each of us. See, we live in a world that desperately needs us as God's followers to be fully alive. A world that desperately needs us as God's followers to live out our calling. A world that desperately needs us to demonstrate what it means to know and to walk with the living God. So God has a calling for each one of us. Just as God called Patrick to the people of Ireland, and just as God called Jen to the people of Burkina Faso, and just as God called Sheila and I to start this church, God has a calling for you, a calling that matters, a calling that he has fully equipped you to accomplish, and lives will be changed because of that. So get alone with him, breathing room. Spend time in his presence, being renewed and restored by him, listening to his voice and receiving from him, and then get out there. And let the waters flow. Let the life that God has given you reach out and touch the lives of those around you. So, Father, I want to thank you that you invite us to partner with you. I thank you, Father, that you have called us and you have equipped us. Thank you, first of all, for the transformation you bring into our lives. You are so good and you are so faithful, and we fully embrace your work in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to find that balance that we need of spending time in your presence, listening and receiving and growing and being restored. But then, God, we want to live out our mission. We want to live out your calling for us and reach out and touch the lives of others with the power of your word and your truth. Send us, Lord, to do your work and help us to walk in obedience to that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.